is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
I feel blessed when I have the things that I need. I'm very blessed. But there are better blessings than those. Because you don't have to have those and you can still feel fulfilled and complete in Christ. See, frankly, those things don't ultimately satisfy. The house ends up with problems and needs to be fixed. The car, the same thing is true. There are people with great homes, new cars, perfect chiseled bodies. And yet, they're miserable. They've got everything you might need, but they're not happy. They're not complete. They're not fulfilled. They're looking for something more. They're missing that spiritual blessing.
Are you content with your life today? Or is there one more thing you're praying for that will make your life complete? Whether it's a possession or status, we learn from Pastor Troy in today's teaching that spiritual blessings are far better than physical ones. God has every spiritual blessing you need available for the asking. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
A major idea in Ephesians is that we have new life in Christ. It's one of the big ideas. We have new life in Christ. So we have a new family. And we have new standards by which we live. And these standards cause us to rise up above the old self. And it affects our relationships with others and with the Lord. In our introduction to Ephesians, we talked about, if you outlined it, we might outline it, the wealth of the believer. That is what we have, all that we have in Christ. The walk of the believer, what we're able to do because of all of that, and what happens because of it. That is the warfare of the believer. Because when you're in Christ, God's working on you. You're a work in progress. And thank God for that part that says in progress. Because if upon transformation, this is what we were, that'd be a bummer. There would be war in heaven still. But because we're a work in progress, God is working out in us that salvation so that when we're with Him, that transformation is fully complete. We have hope because that means we're going to be changed. Because if none of us are really changed, nothing around us will change. The great artist Donatello once refused a slab of marble to craft into a piece of art, to a statue, because he had high standards, high expectations of himself, and high standards for quality, which is what we want. But he began to chip away briefly and then realized, this is flawed. I don't want this. I'm not going to use this stone. It's flawed. And so it sat and was later purchased. Now, decades later, a slab of marble was purchased by one Michelangelo. Some believe that it was the same stone, whether it was or not. Michelangelo sees this stone, and though it seemed to have flaws and was already labeled flawed, he said in his heart, I saw an angel that was trapped inside, and I needed to set it free. And so he purchased that slab, went to work early in his career, and some would call it his greatest masterpiece, the Statue of David, that he got from that. One artist looked at the stone and saw the flaw. The other saw the potential. And fortunately for us, and this is a blessing, speaking of how blessed we are, God looks at us the second way, not the first way, for the flaws. but for the potential. It's like God looks at your life and goes, oh, what I could do with this one if they would let me. Oh, what I could do. There's so much potential in each and every life. So Ephesians is sort of that chipping away. But it begins with an understanding of how blessed we are. For that is what catapults us into trusting and seeking after and enjoying the things that God wants to do in our life. And so verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So the first thing we'll look at is that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You know, God loves to bless his people. If you've ever blessed anyone or given gifts, the scripture says it's better to give than to receive. And it truly is, if you've ever experienced both sides. Receiving is good. And as children, that's all it's about, is receiving. What are they going to get for Christmas? What do you mean give? We get at Christmas. But as you grow, as you mature, you realize it's blessed to give. Some give and they can't wait. They're more excited than the one receiving. Like, come on, open it. I'll open it for you, come on. Because it's just exciting, you know? It's a blessing to give. And God is blessed to give. He loves to give. But that doesn't mean that he gives everything that you desire or claim. Because he loves us. He loves us too much for that. So we can't stand down here and go, I'm standing on your word. I claim it, Lord. I claim it. And he goes, you claim it? Really? He's not into that. That's not the way he operates. See, God knows what we need. And he wants to give us what we need. And he wants us to be so in line with him that we're asking for what we need. So, I've been waiting for you to ask for that. Because I want to pour out my blessing upon you. You might think, well, I've been praying for something for a long time. And there's that scripture that says, knock and keep knocking and ask and keep asking. And I'm doing that. But there's another scripture that says he knows what you need before you ever ask. So it doesn't matter how often you ask. The point of that passage wasn't that if you ask enough, then I will finally, like the man in the story, go get up out of my bed and go, here, have it. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, look, if a guy would do that in that situation, how much more will I give you the things that you need? Specifically speaking of the Holy Spirit, he talks in James about wisdom, all of these things that you need, I will give you, I'll pour out. How much more? I'm not like that guy that you have to keep doing all of that just hoping I'll give you something. Because I know what you need before you ever ask. Sometimes he gives us what we need and we haven't asked. Other times he's waiting for us to recognize our need and to ask. Kids ask for things all the time, don't they? They never say, you know, Mom, I don't need this, but it'd be nice to have. It'd be a luxury item if I could actually have this piece of candy. They don't do that. What do they say? They say, I need this. I need this. I need this phone. I need to stay up and watch this show. I have to watch it. You're sitting there at dinner. I need that extra cookie. It's not a luxury. It's not a want. They bypass that and they want to make their impact full. It's a need. I need it. Well, as parents, we have to deny them those things at times, don't we? We should. We have to. Because there's some of those things that are actually bad for them. It's not good for them. For example, the show. Staying up for that show may cause them to be cranky in the morning, not able to get up and do their schoolwork. Or maybe it's going to take time away from the chores that they already have, that they haven't done, that they need to do. Or maybe you know that there are some things in that show that if they hadn't put a few things in there, it'd be watchable. You know they're in there, and you realize it's not good content. You go, no, you don't need to watch that. Some of the content can be as simple as the kids in that show just have a disrespectful attitude that I don't want transferring to you. Total disrespect for their parents. And I don't want that transferring to you. So not everything they need is really a need, they ask. And the same is true for us. Not everything we say we need is what we need. But God knows. In fact, some of those things that we want may distract us from the things that we really need or we need to be about, to be busy with, doing. So Paul speaks about every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Not just everything, every blessing. Because most Christians, when we speak of blessing, we often talk about it in the physical realm. Oh, God blessed me with this new house or this wonderful car. God blessed me with money. God blessed me with something tangible or physical. And these are blessings for sure. I mean, I feel blessed when I have the things that I need. I'm very blessed. But there are better blessings than those. Because you don't have to have those and you can still feel fulfilled and complete in Christ. See, frankly, those things don't ultimately satisfy. The house ends up with problems and needs to be fixed. The car, the same thing is true. There are people with great homes, new cars, perfect chiseled bodies, and yet they're miserable. They've got everything you might need, but they're not happy. They're not complete. They're not fulfilled. They're looking for something more. They're missing that spiritual blessing. I don't know anyone in Christ on the other side of the coin. I don't know anyone in Christ who realizes their spiritual blessings and is following after Him. Though they may not have any of these other things, I don't know anyone who has the right perspective about their spiritual blessings who isn't completely satisfied, even if they don't have some of the physical things that others claim to need. They're satisfied, they're complete, because here's what they have. When the storms come, they have peace. They're not tossed to about. They're not going, what's going to happen to us? They have a supernatural peace that God has given them. That's a spiritual blessing. That is wonderful. There's an eternal confidence that they have in a shaky world. What's going to happen now that the elections? What's going to happen to us? They don't have those kinds of fears. They go, you know what? All right, let's go. God's in control. Let's go. I know where I'm going. They're not shaken by the winds of change, the different things that go on in the world. That's a spiritual blessing to have that. You can't manufacture it. You can't create it. Peace, peace, peace. Hum. To get in line with the hum. We're not getting in line with a hum. We're getting in line with a whom, with the Lord. And because of that, we're in line with Him. We go, you know what? God's sovereign. God's in control. Yes, I wanted this. Yes, I hope this. Yes, I thought this, but I'm not God. He is, and I thank God that He's sovereign. And they're not shaken. They have a hope despite the appearance of things, and without hope, we have nothing. You know, when we feel like we're at a dead end and I can't see a fix, I can't see a solution, I can't see anything that might change the circumstances, we're hopeless. It's like, well, we might as well end it, whether it's marriage or life. Without hope, we don't go forward. But God gives us hope, that new idea, that new way. Let's deal with this. Let's go this direction. God always gives us hope, and it keeps us going. So our wealth is not measured by what we have externally, but by what we have internally. And that is a far greater wealth. So not possessions, but position in Christ. Not worried about what everyone else has or does or thinks, but who we have and who we are. Others may not find value in us, but Christ does. So bright that He has a hope for us even here. In verse 4 we read, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. The next thing we'll talk about is we're blessed with a bright future. Very bright. First, He chose us. He chose us. He told His disciples that, even though they responded to him, he said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I was the initiator. And for us, the same is true. He chose us. He initiated all of this. So it's not on us to maintain. He maintains. And he says that he chose us, but it's not just like I picked you. He chose us for something. In advance, he chose us for something. He didn't look at us and go, oh, here's what I'm going to do with you. In advance, before the world began, he chose us for something specific. And that is to be holy and to be without blame before him in love. Holy. We were chose to be holy. Holy, one day we'll be holy, completely holy. But holy is to be set apart and useful for a specific purpose or person. And in this case, it's for the Lord. I don't need help, but I'm going to use some help. And I'm going to use you. You have value and purpose. You are holy to God. And he chose you. Chose you to be without blame. We're going to talk more about why. But that simply for us means that we no longer have to carry the weight of our own sin and guilt. We no longer have to carry that. Now that's a blessing. That's a spiritual blessing. That I no longer have to feel and carry and beat myself and deny myself certain things that God may be trying to give me. Because I don't deserve it. God wants to use you. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it, he says. I know you don't. But I chose. I'm choosing to use you. If you feel like, Pastor Troy, I don't deserve to be used at all in the church. But I say, look, I know you don't. But I want to use you. We need you. Will you say yes to the Lord and serve him? I don't deserve it. I know that. But I'm choosing you. I'm asking you. Well, God does that. I want to use you. I know you don't deserve it. I'm not saying you deserve it. I'm choosing to use you. And I have a purpose and a plan that I want to use you in. One that you're very valuable for. Because I've made no one else like you to use you in this specific way. So we no longer have to walk condemned. In fact, Romans 8:1 makes that very clear, saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those that he's placed his Spirit in, who are led by that Spirit, they're free to walk by the Spirit and do everything that God has given them to do. Without guilt, without shame, without a sense of, I don't deserve this. Because it is God who's leading. Now, this whole idea of chose and predestined and all of this stumbles a lot of people. It says he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. It also says he predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. And there are several who are, they take offense to that. Like, how come I don't get a choice in this? Let me just deal with his choice first before we talk about the other. God has the right to choose, doesn't he? Can God do anything he wants to? God can do any. The scripture says we only have life and breath because of him. So before him anyway, you don't exist and you don't have the right to. You wouldn't exist. So in light of that, can't he do whatever he wants to? He's God. So I'm not all upset by the fact that he can do what he wants to and he chooses whatever he wants to choose. And one of the reasons I'm not all that upset is because I'm chosen. And so I don't care how he did it or when. I'm just thankful that he chose me. And all of the theology behind it, I don't care. I'm just glad he chose me. And I know he chose me because he reaches out to me. He speaks to me. He picks me up when I'm down. He lifts me. He does it personally, or he'll bring someone around to lift and encourage. God is ever present help in time of trouble for me. He's there. And so I know I'm his. If I weren't, then all of those times when he didn't reach out, I'd probably be dead by now from lack of hope. But he's there. and he's that ever-present help, and I'm his. And when he did it and why and how, I don't need the theology of it. I'm just glad. I'm thankful. And that's where we ought to be. But there are those who are a little upset about those things. And usually they're the ones who feel like maybe they're not chosen. And that's why. But let me ask you this. Why do you not belong to Christ this morning if you don't? Why are you not a believer? I don't want to be. Oh, you chose. Well, it's okay for you to choose, but not for him. The scripture says this, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever. It's an open invitation to anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord. And so, my suggestion is, realize that one reaching out is the Lord. Respond to him, choose him, call upon him, and you will find that he chose you before the foundation of the world. I don't completely understand, nor do I claim to be able to fully explain this idea of God's election and man's free will to choose, but I do believe in both, because the Bible teaches both. And to only choose one causes you to be either very rigid and unevangelistic in your mindset, and then the other causes you to be very insecure in your relationship with the Lord. But they're both true. There's this perfect tension that it seems to be there for a reason. So that when you're walking in him, you have full assurance. But when you start to do your own thing, assurance begins to wane. So that you're, did I really give my life to the Lord? It's like a thermostat. Something that begins to ding, 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 alarm, 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 we're distant. So that there isn't that same level of security, so you don't just run amok doing what you want, because if you can do that, are you really in Christ? So I think there's this perfect tension. But one thing I know is those who are in him, those who are his, are secure in him. I don't understand how to explain it. But Jesus said, if you're weary, heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. So, if that's you, he says, come to him. Now, if you're one of those who feels I've got it all under control, I got it, I don't need help, then perhaps you are not one who's chosen. Now, you might come back and say, well, what if I want to be? What if I want to go to heaven? Then choose him. But I don't want to. Then you're not chosen. You see how it works? It's like you're going to make a choice and you're going to enter and you're going to decide to go ahead and go in that door. Like, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the choice. I'm going to go in only to find a table set and a sign behind you that says chosen before the foundation of the world. Now, part of this mystery and our inability to understand it fully is this capacity that God has that we do not have. Nor can we even fathom. And it is called foreknowledge. It's not something he tries to do. He doesn't stop and go, let me put on my God goggles and look into the future. Oh, you're going to do just fine. Yeah, I'll take you. He knows. It's like he knows. He can't even not know. He already knows. He knows everything because he's all-knowing.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned something new from Pastor Troy's study in the book of Ephesians and that your faith has been strengthened along the way. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. You'll also find our podcast on iTunes, and when you subscribe, you'll have updated messages as soon as they're available. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Pastor Troy will have much more to share next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.